club should be embarrassed. Everybody should be sacked. If I was a lady, I'd be chasing after him. That's all I'm saying. Don't do that in Old Farm Derby. Don't you dare do that, because I'll be there. He's got some lovely veneers. I'd love to find out where he actually got his teeth done.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the People's Podcast. We got a lot to talk about this week, guys. Ronaldo's Italian adventure, VR controversy, and we're also going to look ahead of the Northwest Derby. But we kick things off with an English teenager that is really stealing the show at this point. You know, he's young, he's exciting. His name is Phil Foden. You know, the English under the 21 international, great vision, technically very gifted, and he's trying to break into the first team. But I want to hear from the coach, because the coach will give us a better understanding in what do you need to do with a young player, you understand, when you watch him, because I know how it feels to be the player, but how does it feel? How does a coach look at a player to make sure that this player goes forward and really achieve his potential?
First and foremost, how you doing, son?
I'm good, coach.
Great, excellent news. I mean, look, let's be honest with you. I mean, he's a great little player. He's 18 years of age. Not much you can do with an 18-year-old. I mean, as far as football's concerned, you've got to let him have his fun, let him enjoy himself still. You don't want to get too serious. But the early signs of this young footballer, Mr. Foden, is looking very, very tasty. I mean, he's come, he's done what he's had to do. He's taken the pressure off his shoulders. He's playing alongside the likes of the Silvers, the De Bruyners, the Sarnes and the Raheem Sterlings. And he's handled every single bit of pressure, which is difficult to do. Me as a coach, you know, if I see a player with a lot of talent like Foden, I'd take him under my wing, put my arm around his shoulder, give him the advice I think he needs to hear, still let him enjoy his football, but let him have that serious element to his game. Pep Guardiola knows, and of course, I mean, let's be honest, one of the best managers in the world, Mario Pep Guardiola, if he sees something in a young player, then it's got to be true. Foden's doing exactly what he needs to do. I mean, he comes on, he scores two goals against Newport County in the fifth round of the FA Cup. FA Cup's one of the most scariest cup competitions in the world, because in England it's the most important, it's the biggest. Nothing fazes this young lad. I mean, he's getting the praises from all the top players. You know, he's a great young lad. All they've got to do now is keep the hype off him, because we don't want to, you know, go too far like the Michael Owens and everyone else and the Rooneys. We want to just keep it nice and simple. Let him enjoy his game. Understand that he's a good player. Let him know here and there that he's got sparks and this and that. And listen, Foden, you're a great young lad. Morning, Foden. Keep doing what you're doing. Hello, Foden. Keep getting your goals. But don't make it too serious, because if we do, then the young lad will feel too pressured and he might be a flop. But as the signs are showing from the early age, he is looking like an absolute star, Mario.
No, definitely. I agree, coach. Because he's 18 years old. He won the FIFA Under the 17 World Cup. He's a star man. He was in that tournament. He showed his ability. And even Warnock, you know, your mate, coach, said that he gives him a feeling that he's one of those players like Iniesta. I mean, that is a big title. That's really what you say. What you just said, that let him develop. Give him the time to develop. But I'm also excited to see young players coming into the big sides and getting the opportunity. So, and it's exciting to watch.
It's exciting, Mario. I mean, look at the likes of, like, Sancho. He's gone out to Borussia Dortmund. You know, I mean, Hudson-Odoi is having problems at Chelsea. Foden's got his place at Man City, one of the biggest club in the Premier League, top of the table, possibly going to win the Premier League title this year. I mean, Liverpool tend to flop it around this time. Hopefully they don't, you know, want to see a nice little title race. But at the same time, he is looking like a real star. You don't get these comparisons for no reason. You know, the likes of the Messis and all these types of ticky-tacker players. Foden needs to keep his head down, keep his feet grounded, keep doing what he's doing, keep plugging away, and hopefully we'll have a star in this young man.
So that's why we're going to another star man, and I'm sure that Vonen will be watching the likes of this guy. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, the name for itself, you know, this guy has scored or assist over 50% of Juventus goals this season. I mean, this guy is just incredible. You know, when he came to England, I remember one time talking to Edwin van der Sar and asking him, like, what is Cristiano like? He said, Mario, he made clear before he won the Golden Ball, he said to van der Sar, I want to win the Golden Ball. And I've been reading about players that said, like, he's the first on the training and he's the last one to leave. As van der Sar told me, identical to that, he said, one thing he did every day, he practiced to make himself better. Now what? 21 goals and 12 assists in all competition for Ronaldo. Juventus are 13 points clear in the Serie A and are still unbeaten. This guy is just incredible. I know he left Real Madrid actually at a point when he won everything he could have won with that team, then goes to Juventus and tried to achieve the same thing while he beat them in the Champions League so many times. And they want the Champions League. They're dying to go after that.
I mean, the guy is an absolute machine. First and foremost, I mean, what he did was looked at himself as a business. Now, that's what Ronaldo did. So he hired in, you know, accountants, a coach to help him train, a nutritionist, you know, a meditation person. Like, this guy is absolutely amazing. He saw himself as a business, invested in himself, and look at where he is now. I mean, look, in total, $191 million has been spent on this guy. You know, from fees of $99 million at Juventus, $80 million at Real Madrid, $12 million from United. His career is ridiculous. 459 league goals, 23 in the FA Cup, 10 in the league, and 178 in other competitions. What more do we have to say about this guy? Whatever he touches turns into gold. And I mean literally, everything he touches, this guy is so successful. I have the utmost admiration for this Portuguese star. I think he's a role model in every sense. You know, the kids need to watch him. The dads need to watch him. I know the ladies definitely watch him because he's also a very good looking guy. What more do we need to say about Cristiano Ronaldo? I mean, a lot of the time I do feel quite sad because I think a lot of people talk about Lionel Messi more than Ronaldo. But if you look at what this guy's achieved and what he's going on to achieve at this age, the guy is a phenomenon. Such an amazing footballer, like from the likes of Zidane, Beckham's. They don't come near this guy. In my opinion, Ronaldo is the best I've ever seen.
I agree. You know, I've counted him a number of times, and it was really interesting because sometimes we will have a corner against us, and you stand against Cristiano, you look at him, and you know he's got that incredible jump. You know you got to be close to him. And every time I was so happy, it worked. The ball would get crossed, and soon as he's watching the ball, I give him a push. And every time he would say the same thing to me, he would go, Mario, come on, man, why are you doing this?
He's very intelligent and very smart. Again, you're quite intelligent because look what you had to do to make him stop scoring. He will do whatever he needs to do. And quite clearly, you can see from the stats, Ronaldo has worked in every club that he's been, knows what he's doing. He's extremely smart. He's got the physique of a gladiator, and he does what he needs to do to win. If I was a lady, I'd be chasing after him. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree, man. Hey, so the next message is a very interesting one. We're going to listen to a message about Alexis Sanchez.
Wow. How do you go from Ronaldo to Sanchez? I mean, that's a contrast. Let's hear the message.
My name is Patrick Rogers, and I'm from Amsterdam. Alexis Sanchez is the most expensive flop in the Premier League history. He's done nothing for the United and gives the ball away constantly.
Wow, hey, it sounds like Patrick's pretty aggressive going after him. You know, he said that he's the biggest flop. I mean, I know he's going through difficult times. And this guy, you know, he took the league by storm when he came to Arsenal. He was exciting. He had all the energy. He played very well for the Chilean national team at that point. Comes to Arsenal, the star man, started to perform really well. And then he goes to Man United. And now it looks like it's a different player. I think he lost his confidence. I think I don't see the Sanchez that I normally see, you know, the one that was free spirit and dribbling at people. And I'm worried about him. And Solskjaer also came out and he said after the game that Sanchez needs to improve.
Sanchez, I come from Arsenal. Now say, the player didn't play well there because, you know, Arsene Wenger, he must say nothing to players and just let them play. And you know, Wenger, them, he's kind of scared of big players. So the player do good at Arsenal. Man United come and buy him. Now Man United a big club and them win loads of trophy and player like Cantona and Andy Cole and all these type of big man player, them are doing well. So the man feel pressure. But me say when you come to the club and manager like Jose Mourinho try and talk to you, the man are in there because you know say the man always talking and talking and thinking a big man and all these things. So Sanchez I feel like him have pressure. But now him come against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, this manager might get the best out of him. So me just want to say something. Let the man do his thing. The confidence ain't there. We see a nice interview with Ander Herrera and Sanchez, and the man look nice and happy. So I think personally, the man has to have time. Okay, right. The man then pay good pay for the man, but give Sanchez time because I think he might be all right. You see me?
Yeah, no, I agree, man. It's a difficulty, and you mentioned there Andy Cole and Cantona. I mean, I've never played against the legend Cantona, but that speaks for itself because you know I was a kid and watching the league at that time when he was performing and doing the great things. But I played against Andy, and Andy was just one of those players that you know when you come on the field and you sometimes you just look and you see Andy Cole and Dwight York standing there, you're almost saying to yourself, whatever. Whatever happens today, try to stay alive in the game because those two guys, it was just predator. Incredible.
Yeah, man, predator fighter, real player. But also, I think that you can't take away from Sanchez what he done at Arsenal. You see me? Because the player is a good player. So give the man time and let's see what I want. You know, social. Yeah, nice man. You put him arm around people's shoulder and talk about them, spark again, and all these kind of players come back into the element. So let Sanchez and see what go on with the brother. Because me think he's a good player, you know? Good player.
Yeah, he's a humble guy. You know, he grew up single mom, three kids, where he came from, and then, you know, Chile International. Everybody loves him in Chile. So I do want to see him do well because it is a great player. He won Copa America, so that made him, and actually that tournament, he was so instrumental for his country in winning that. The energy, the confidence, you understand, like all the things. He was also the guy that he's famous for the rolling the shorts up, you know, like, and people might say like, oh, this is a show off, but it's just his ability and his energy, strength, speed, change of direction. He's so good at it, and I feel like now he has lost a little bit of that, so I hope he gets it back.
That's right, but you never lose talent, you see me? Because confidence is one of them things where you have to have somebody come in and say, listen, Alexis, you're a good player, my brother. At Arsenal, you're a good player. You come to United, all right, different place, different, you know, area. Manchester quite scary, you know. Maybe in Manchester a few times, then people are crazy. London is different to Manchester. So let my man come and relax and see what go on and find out where the nice takeaway and Caribbean restaurants are, and him dog have to get used to all the parks and all them thing there. But he will be all right, man, because Man United look like they're on the up now. Rashford and all them brothers, they're scoring, and Pogba and all them brother, him have to find his form. And when the brother does, I think personally that him go and do all right in the Premier League for Man U.
Man United, Liverpool. This game has so much history. Those are one of the games like never had played for any of those two sides. But would I want love to be involved in that? Of course, guys. This is a big one. I feel this is Liverpool's year. If they want to win this league, they have to do it right now. Because if you come that close, the momentum is perfect as well. They came already close. We all know about the famous situation when they played Chelsea, when the legend Gerrard slipped and they lost that game, and they could have, you know, pushed on and win it. But I still believe they have enough in this team to win this league. But Man United, the way they played against Chelsea, for example, in the FA Cup, they look comfortable.
Yeah, you see, I mean, it's a real difficult one, Mario, with regards to Liverpool. I mean, we all know that they're a great side. I mean, the slip with Gerrard against Chelsea was, I'd say it was unfortunate. You know, it was. I wouldn't call it a mistake. I mean, as far as the legend's concerned, Steven Gerrard, it was just something that happened. It was written in the stars. It was the energy that collided at Stamford Bridge that day.
it's an unfortunate, you know, circumstance that he was involved in. Really sad. But I do honestly think, and I agree with what you're saying, Mario, I think if they don't win it this year, Liverpool, I think there's a hoodoo over Anfield. It's got to be done this year. You know, I mean, the signing of Van Dijk, you know, bringing in that extra strength. And you've got the young players, Alexander-Arnold and all these players and Roberts and everything, like, you know, Shaqiri coming off the bench and performing. And the front three in Firmino, Mane and Mo Salah. Yeah, exactly. It's just, they've got to do it this year. You know, no mistakes. Jurgen Klopp's got it right. He seems like he's getting Liverpool onto the right path. They're facing a Man United side who are looking extremely confident now. You know, Solskjaer's got them playing football. I kind of do fear for Liverpool. I mean, you know, the negative result, not beating West Ham. You know, these are games you should be winning. But being level on points with Man City, they're looking like this year it could be the one. But again, Man City did come off form slightly, but now they're back on form. Okay, they've got the Carabao Cup final, but this is Man City we're talking about. This is, you know, a team with depth, strength, you know, energy. Aguero's coming back into his form. Liverpool fans do need to worry slightly, but I do agree with you, Mario. This should be and has to be the year that Liverpool win this Premier League title. The momentum's there, the energy's there, everything is there. But will they make the cut? Man United next. They're on form. It's going to be a very tough trip. But if they can get past these hurdles, I do think Liverpool are going to win the league.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Because that's the same thing that we talked about the Spurs in the last podcast. Because Spurs need to win a title. Liverpool needs to win this title. Winning the league will set them apart. So yeah, definitely. I totally agree with what you're saying. Because I feel like Klopp is the coach that, if I would come back in football, this is the kind of coach that I will enjoy playing for. He brings a lot of happiness to his players. Also, the way I think emotionally, he's one of the most expressive guys that is honestly showing his emotions. If he's winning, he shows his winning emotion. If he's losing or not happy, you'll know it too. While sometimes a lot of them trying to keep it in and try to cover it. And he doesn't cover his emotion. I like that.
Well, exactly. And this is the thing about going back to sort of, you know, the Pep Guardiolas and the Solskjaers. You know, Jurgen Klopp's got this philosophy where it's like, yes, I'm the football manager, but I'm also your friend. I'll put an arm around you when I need to. I'll criticise you when I need to. And I'll also show my emotions just the way that the footballers should. So he's kind of embedding that attitude and personality into the squad in a sense of saying, don't be afraid to show you're disappointed. And don't be afraid to show that you're excited. Jurgen Klopp's sideline antics, for me, is entertainment within itself. I don't just look at the game. I also look at Jurgen Klopp on the sideline. And when I see the way he gets excited, clenches his fists, bites his teeth, which are new, by the way. He's got some lovely veneers. I'd love to find out where he actually got his teeth done. But Jurgen Klopp is looking better, just like his club. You know, I just think if they can't win it with that side, I don't think they'll ever win it again, Mario, because, you know, it's got to be done this year, because we know the likes of City and, of course, Man United and Chelsea, they will invest next season and then they'll lose more of a chance of winning it. So Liverpool, I think that give it a go, show everyone what you're made of and just see where we go. But I just hope that they don't flop it this year. I really do.
So the next topic is about the VR. We have a call in from Jack. Jack is calling in. So let's listen what Jack had to say.
I just want to say I'm totally for VAR. I think it's very important for the game. Big decisions, especially in big games, sometimes that the refs miss. I just think, all right, it might take some time. It's new, there's teething problems, but I'm totally for it. And yeah, I think we should carry on with it.
So, look, everybody talks about VR. I know it was introduced, you know, at the World Cup. People talk about it. People wanted to be involved. Ajax got a goal disallowed against Real Madrid, and it was the VR's first involvement into the Champions League. people complained, of course, people jumped on it, especially when you're on the Ajax side, you get sensitive.
Well, this is one of the things that I've got to say about VAR, right? One of the old sayings is, don't fix it if it ain't broken. Now, football's unpredictable, you know what I mean, Mario? Someone might handball it and whatever, it might be an advantage, some geezer might have tripped someone over in the penalty area, the refs missed it. That's the referee's problem, bruv, do you know what I mean? So, you look at the game as a whole, I do like the VAR because, you know, in some instances it's actually worked out well for some people. And it's true, it is kind of fair because at the end of the day, if the ref misses it, but it's actually quite a controversial part of the game, then VAR jump in and say, right, listen, he did handball it, it is a penalty. And it is kind of fair. But the only problem I don't like about the VAR thing is it takes too bloody long. Now, I've made myself a cup of tea, I've got my biscuits, and I'm eating it and drinking it at the same time, and they're going to last for 90 minutes. If you start adding on another 10 minutes because of VAR, I've got to go and get myself another packet of biscuits. Now, I can't afford that, Mario. Do you know what I mean? I've got to make myself another cup of tea. I'm wasting water, tea bags, and sugar. They stand still, the referee don't talk to no one, he puts his hand to his ear like he's listening to the microphone, someone sends a video out to somewhere else, and that video gets monitored. Listen, mate, it's not that hard. We're sitting at home watching it on Sky Sports, and I can get it up in 2 minutes. So, sort out the timing, make it a lot quicker, and then we've got ourselves a deal. VAR can jump into football, and everyone's happy. Nice and fair, sweet. But as long as it's keep being this long and making the game, I mean, they're taking the energy out of the game. Once they sort that out, I agree with this caller. I think VAR will be a great thing for the football league.
Okay, I totally agree. And that's why we have one more call regarding the VAR as well.
Hi, guys. Ibs from London here. Loving people's podcasts. About VAR, I just think they should scrap it. It's not working. It's taking way too long. We could see that with the Man City game the other day. It's just ridiculous. They're making wrong calls. I just think you should just leave football for football. Let the ref make the calls. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. I get that. But it's the same thing with VAR. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. It's a joke. Let's just leave football to be football.
Okay, so, you know, he said about the controversy that it didn't change. It doesn't really, because it's still going to be some people's opinion, because you still got to watch it and someone's going to give his opinion, and then the referee takes that opinion and says, like, he looks at it and he says, that's what it is.
Exactly. Listen, Mario, this is the problem we have here. Now, the game's unpredictable. It's fast. It's fun. It's great. VAR has actually got a couple of decisions wrong as it stands, and it's meant to be, you know, the certified way of making sure that, like, a penalty is a penalty, a goal is a goal. But these guys are making it out to be, like you said, you know, it still has to go to a guy who has to make his choice and make an opinion on that opportunity. So it does get it wrong sometimes, but, you know, I don't think bringing robots into the game is going to make a difference. You know, you're bringing this kind of stop and start thing, and you have to review the goal or the penalty claim. Keep it the way it's supposed to be. But I do think, you know, it's the way of the future. And these guys, because there's so much money running on all these sides, you know, there's big games, like, for example, Liverpool and Man United. That's a big game. They can't have mistakes in this kind of game. So maybe it might help us out, but they have to stop this crap, wasting time and all that, you know. Make the decisions faster.
No, I totally understand. No, you would not want that. I mean, imagine you have the Rangers and Celtic, you understand, and the game stop all the time. You will go crazy. I can imagine that.
I'd go crazy. I'd go absolutely crazy. I'm telling you, don't do that in the Celtic, and don't do that in the Old Firm Derby. Don't you dare do that, because I'll be there. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's one of the derbies I still got to come and watch. An Old Firm derby, man. That's like
come
magic.
Down, Mario. Okay. Come to my box, Mario. I have a box at Ibrox. You're all right. We like you down there.
Okay, guys, we're coming to the beautiful game. The beautiful game is our section where we're just going to, you know, like, we love to pick interesting topics to talk about. So we're going to one. Pro Piacenza in Italy, they're having some money problems because they haven't paid the staff since August. So they had to forfeit two games already, and this was their last option, because if not, they're going to have some problems in the league. So what they did, they turn up with, what, I mean, seven young players, because I think 7 is the cap to play the game, and they got beat 20-0. I mean, that's incredible. You understand? If you play that game, they were 15 goals down in the first half. I remember I used to have a coach that used to say, if your goal tally goes that high, you're not playing football anymore. Now you're playing handball, because that is out of this league. And that's why, and I know I got beat as well a couple of times, very bad. And it wasn't a nice way, because anything above 5 becomes a real, real tough thing to take.
20 mil, bruv. I mean, come on, bruv. You know what I mean? How the hell are you losing 20 mil? I thought to myself, this must be a game at Hackney Marshes, bruv. 20 mil. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like every player scored a goal. They had seven players, young ones as well. The captain, Nicola, whatever his name is, Chirega Ligeliano, sounds like a pasta, bro. He was 18, bro. And I heard this guy was doubling as the manager as well. You know what I mean? What kind of problems are you having at your football club, bro? I mean, it's not right. Like, you can't be doing this kind of things, bro. 20 nil. If my girlfriend knew that I was playing in a team that lost 20 nil, she would leave me, bro. My parents would disown me, bro. The club should be embarrassed. Everybody should be sacked. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe there should be some kind of problem. They should fold or something or disappear, because 20 nil, you should not be playing football, bro.
Okay, we got to go to a legend in the game. Gordon Banks. He passed away at the age of 81. I mean, if you're from England, and I don't think only England actually, because this goalkeeper is very famous for one of the most crucial saves that he did against Pele during the 1970 World Cup. And Sir Bobby Charlton was part of that team when they won the World Cup in 1966. He said, Gordon was a fantastic goalkeeper. Without a doubt, one of the best England has ever had. Until today, he didn't understand how he could make that save from the header from Pele.
Yeah, massive, massive, first and foremost, Mario. God rest his soul. I mean, Gordon Banks, what a goalkeeper. What a goalkeeper. I mean, he had hands bigger than the Empire State Building. You know, this guy was ready. He could hold all his babies in one hand. That's how big his hands were. He is an absolute legend. Like you said, that save against Pele, what a save. Personally, I mean, that's an arc. I've got the actual picture on my wall, Mario, the one where Pele heads the ball down and Banksy saves it. I've got that picture because it's an iconic moment. You know, you don't make saves like that every day. And what a goalkeeper. RIP to the legend.
No, that's great. You know, like, I love, you know, legends. People that why I always respect legends and people that did it before me and inspired me to do it. I think that's what football is all about. We all want to see greatness. And greatness inspires us to move forward and believe in our own ability, because these guys already did it. So, guys, we came to the end again. It was fun. So if you want to call in, you know the number. It's +44 77 96 53 87 28. Leave your voice note, introduce yourself with your full name, tell us where you're from, and make your comment or ask your question that you want to feature in the show. We speak to you soon. This is Mario Melchior, and I had my friends joining me.
We're here. You're listening at the People's Podcast, mate. It's the best in town. Make sure you're listening every week. We're the number one in the UK and around the world too. Take care. See you later. From me, Mario. I love you, kid.
See you later.